All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969 with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company. I want to welcome you to our program today. We've got some great things that we're going to be talking about, mostly as a new choice program for the VA. Also, if you have any questions about your benefits, we'd be more than happy to have you give us a call here at Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. Write it down, put it on your forehead, wherever you need to do to have it there, so that you can give us a call. And we've got our resident experts are here. Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, and Carol Ann Fassone from Legal Help for Veterans is here. And also, we got a public relations expert from the Ann Arbor VA to talk about all the programs that are going on. That's Brian Hayes. So you got to stick around for to ask these people their questions, because if you have one, we can get that done for you. Also today, we're going to be announcing the winner of our U.S. Wings Leather Jacket, a winner, as we have been doing over the last couple of months. So stay tuned. We'll do that at the end of the program so you can't tune out. We want to make sure that you listen to the whole deal. So we got a couple of things I got to mention here. All right, so we want to really thank our sponsors, because without them, obviously, we couldn't be on the air. So that's Legal Help for Veterans, which specializes in veterans' disability claims. That's all they do, is veterans' disability claims. So for more information, you can go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com, or give them a call. 800-693-4800. That's 800-693-4800. Also, as I mentioned about the leather flight jacket, that's U.S. Wings, the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world, according to Sarge. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, you can go to their website. That's uswings.com, or give them a call. 800-650-0659. 800-650-0659. And do us a favor. Listen, if you call Legal Help for Veterans or you call U.S. Wings, let them know that you heard about them on Veterans Radio, because I think that will be very helpful for them, to let them know that their advertising dollars are being put to good use. And, of course, we want to thank our local veteran service organizations. That's American Legion Post 46, the VFW Post 423, and the Charles S. Kettles VVA Post 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so after that, I think that's about it for news. I got one announcement that I did want to let you know about, and that's here locally. Where did I put it? Let's see. Here it is. This is when I try to carry too many things with me. We've talked about the Michigan War Dog Memorial here in Michigan a couple of times on our program, or many times on our program. And the War Dog Michigan Memorial is having a service coming up this week for, where's the dog name? Bleck. Bleck is the name of the dog. I'm sorry. Anyway, his handler is Megan Wooster. She's a canine handler with the United States Navy. And she had to been deployed to Saudi Arabia, and she explained that she had to leave her dog behind due to illness and was assigned another dog. During her deployment, she was advised by the Vet Corps that her beloved dog, military work dog, Bleck, had passed away. She would like to know if she could. She wanted to know if she could have Bleck laid to rest among the other canine heroes at the Michigan War Dog Memorial. Well, they did that. They pulled the whole thing together. She's only got a 5-day leave, and so Phil Weedoff, who is the president of the Michigan War Dog Memorial, arranged for the monument. And that was to be done. Send it back. It's all in place. It was delivered. It's been set. And the service is going to be this coming Tuesday, July 2nd, at noon, as requested. And so anybody that's up in the South Lyon, Milford area, if you want to see a military war dog ceremony, burial ceremony, you can go to the Michigan War Dog Memorial. It's at the intersection of 11 Mile Road and Milford Road up around South Lyon. So just wanted to make sure that you heard about that one. So we're going to take a real quick break, and we will be back very shortly to start answering your questions and to also find out what's going on with the VA. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio, and today is our monthly benefits program. And so I want to make sure that we introduce all of our experts today. Number one on the phone right now is retired Air Force Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. General, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. It's great to be there with other veterans, and I'm waiting to hear what's going on in Ann Arbor.
Well, that's just like all of us, and it's not just Ann Arbor, it's all across the country, evidently, so we'll be doing that. Also joining us, is, as usual, is Michael Smith, Army veteran, who is the Executive Director of the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. Michael, welcome back.
Dale, thank you so much for having me back, and it's good to hear your voice, General Falzone.
Well, it was great to see you, speaking of Ann Arbor, at the VA Medical Center, and I know we'll talk about that, but it was great to see you, Michael. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. It was good seeing you, too. I forgot that was just, what, about a week ago.
Oh, that's right. We should tell our people, you know, we finally had our groundbreaking for the Fisher House here in Ann Arbor, which is a great, as we know, is a great cause, and we'll probably mention that a little bit later on. But that thing is already coming out of the ground. It's like it's growing. It's great. Mm-hmm. But also joining us to help us understand everything that's going on in the world of the VA is Brian Hayes, and he's our local public affairs officer of the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. He came to the VA after a 25-year career in broadcast media. So Brian and I are going to talk afterwards. maybe I can get him to be another guest host on the program. But he was also a Navy veteran, and so I wanted to welcome him back to Veterans Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. It's really nice to be back. It's nice to be in studio. Normally, I'm on the phone, but it's really great. I just love being in radio stations. They always smell the same, no matter what station you go to.
That's a little bit scary.
Right?
I don't know what that says for us.
A stale coffee and old carpet. That's pretty much the...
Yeah, you got the wall-to-wall carpet going. Well, I guess we should just start off with asking Brian a little bit about what's going on with the new choice program at the VA.
Well, we have to be careful with that. It's not a new choice program. The choice program was what we say sunsetted, right? So it's
okay,
over. It's done.
It's history.
So choice program ended on June 6th this year, the same day that the Mission Act took effect. Remember, Mission Act of 2018 was voted was signed into law last year, and it took effect just on June 6th.
I found my notes.
Yep,
VA launches new healthcare options under Mission Act.
Yep.
So there we go.
We don't call it the choice program anymore.
Okay, choice is gone.
Yes.
But you still have options.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the options are there. So there's some things that changed, right? There are a bunch of different lanes that changed with the Mission Act, and some of them really don't have anything to do with the VHA per se, the Health Administration, mm-hmm. You know, things like infrastructure and stuff like that. But what did change, you know, they've opened up ways for us to hire qualified people in a little bit easier, a little bit more quickly. Training for physicians is being made a little bit easier. And also the eligibility for folks who need to go out into the community for their care is changing a little bit as well, right? So remember, under the choice program, it was, I think, 30 days and 40 miles, right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, now it's 20 days and 30 miles. Okay, that's just,
okay.
Right? So they've kind of tightened.
Right,
yeah, so they've tightened it up a little bit, right? And that's for primary care. For specialty care, it's 28 days and 60 miles. Right. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's important to remember, too, when we talk about, you know, our patients, our veterans going out into the community. That's not a new thing for the VA. We've been sending patients into the community for decades, especially our smaller facilities who we call them level threes or level twos. We're a level 1A, 1B, depending on what time of year mm-hmm. it is. So the meaning we have a high level of specialty care, right? The complications mm-hmm. of care that we offer make us a level one. But there are a lot of facilities out there that that are twos and threes, and they're not going to have heart surgeons and neurosurgeons and all the stuff that you need in a big, giant hospital. So those folks have been going to the community for decades. And there are some services that we still send out into the community. We're right next door to U of M. And we can't overstate our relationship with U of M and their medical facility over there. We're partners with them, been partners for ages. So that's been a really good partnership for both of us. But yeah, so the Mission Act is up and running, and we're doing our thing as folks need it, you know.
In order to use the Mission Act, you still have to be registered with the VA.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you still need to be a patient, right? An enrolled patient with the VA and probably get your care at the VA in some way or another. And then we can discuss whether we're able to send you out into the community. But if you're not already a patient with us, we don't know you. We don't know who you are, right?
Well, we've been really trying to encourage the people around wherever you are, folks, is at least register with your VA healthcare center wherever it might be, because somebody threw out a statistic a couple of weeks ago that only 18% of the population where we are in Michigan are signed up with the VA.
Well, it's important to get in there, and we like to say enroll, not register, because register makes it sound like you're getting a driver's license or something, you know. But
well, I already registered for the draft once. I'm not going to do that again.
and that's another reason we don't say register with the VA.
It gives us flashbacks, terrible flashbacks.
Understood. So we like to say enroll in healthcare with the VA. And even if you've been denied before, your life circumstances may have changed at some point. Maybe your income has dropped below a threshold now, or maybe there's some other injury that's cropped up that you didn't have before, some illness. Come back and try it again. Keep trying to enroll. Do it every year until you get in. Because, you know, once you're in, you're in.
Right.
No matter what your circumstances change, right? And I think Michael would agree. I mean, I see him. He's like, yeah, absolutely, totally. Get in here and get enrolled, because we really want to get as many Michigan and Ohio veterans as we can in our healthcare system. Remember, we've got, you know, Northwestern Ohio as part of our group too.
Right. So if we look at this Veteran Act, the Mission Act, actually, before I get all messed up again here, everybody qualifies that's already in the program. If we're already enrolled, then we qualify. Or do we have to go? Does it work like we have to get permission from our primary care to go outside?
It's not necessarily permission. It's a discussion between you, the patient, veteran patient, and your primary care provider, as to whether it is appropriate for you. Because remember, you know, at VA, you know, we want to keep your care at VA for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is your health record. Your health record stays with us, and there's a continuity of care there when you're getting your care at VA. When you go out into the community, we kind of break that a little bit, and we don't always have our finger on the pulse of what your care is, right, and how that care is being delivered until we get notes back from the physicians or something like that. Whereas when you stay in the VA, you know, your primary care probably knows your specialty care doc. You know, your cardiologist and your primary care doc probably know each other by first name. They may even golf, right? Not that they're talking about you on the golf course, but you know, they know each other.
Talk about my golf,
right? But for folks who get their care out in the community, civilians, if you will. You know, they've got a primary care doc, and then they've got the specialty doc, and they've got a derm doc and a cardio, you know, and none of them know each other. None of them know what each other is doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas in VA, your health record is right there. It's all right there on the same page. So all your doctors know exactly what's going on with your care, what medications you're taking, what allergies you have, all of that stuff. And that goes with you no matter where you go for the rest of your life.
To any VA system?
Any VA system.
Or anywhere. Outreach program anywhere?
Anywhere. And that's a huge benefit to keeping your care in the VA. But going back to answer your question, I tend to be chatty, but that's what PR guys do, right?
Yeah.
So Carol Ann will weigh in on that too. She's like, she's like, just wind him up, Dale. Let him go. So that conversation between the patient and the doctor, and that'll be the determination of whether you need to go out into the community or not. Now, if you live more than 30 minutes away from a facility, or if we're not able to get you in within 20 days, then that's a conversation you can have with your physician, but that doesn't mean you have to go. Mm-hmm. Right. And we found under the CHOICE program, and I think Michael, you might agree with me on this one, as many veterans as we that went out into the community to get their care, most of them all came back to us. We've got because the care at the VA is stellar. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just the VA saying that. You know, we just got studies back from Dartmouth University, the RAND study that just came out earlier this year. We also heard from the American Journal of the American Medical Association, mm-hmm. just came out. You know, the quality of care at the VA is superior to the care in the community, and the access is better. Wait times mm-hmm. are better, right? So when we talk about access and wait times, right? You want to say, oh, you know, it took me 45 days to get my, rheumatology appointment. Mm-hmm. But the next three words should be compared to what, mm-hmm. right? So it might take 45 days to get your rheumatology appointment at the VA, but it might be 90, 100 days to get it anywhere else. So you have to, it may seem like a long time when it's your care, mm-hmm. right? But when you go out into the community, you find that, that it's a lot different than what you might think it is.
Right. We are talking with Brian Hayes from the Ann Arbor VA's public relations there. Michael Smith's here, and General Fasson is on the phone. So if you have any questions, please give us a call here at Veterans Radio. We're talking all about the Mission Act and what's going on, maybe some of the other changes that are occurring in the VA system. It seems like it's always constantly being attacked, and then it's, you know, people are, you know, we're talking very positively about it. Because it is. I think it's a great opportunity. It's a great system. At least I personally have been using it pretty much as all care for the last 4 or 5 years, and I have no complaints whatsoever.
Dale, I get my care at the VA, and as a federal employee, I have some fairly decent health insurance. It's not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll attest to it, but it's good. Mm-hmm. But I choose to get my care at the VA, and I give the VA my insurance card so they can bill my insurance.
I get billed.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mind it.
Well, if you have insurance and you give the VA your insurance card, they'll bill your insurance, mm-hmm. and you know, they collect that money, and that helps other veterans get care. Right, because when you get care, you know, we get a certain amount of money that comes in from the budget, right? Mm-hmm. And some of that money gets spread around to other veterans. So, you know, if I can just take a second, when a lot of veterans will say, "Well, I don't go to the VA because I can afford my own care and I don't want to take up a space." Mm-hmm. Truth is, when you don't go to the VA, you're actually taking funds away from the VA, right? Which can mm-hmm. help other veterans, right? Does that make sense, Carol Ann? I mean, you've probably heard this before too, right?
Absolutely. And Brian, I know you've said it maybe once or twice. I know Michael and I try to preach this along with Dale. But what you just described, we're not supposed to use choice, but with the Mission Act, what's really critical for our veterans, I think you've done a great job. The takeaway is enroll, and number two, get in line with your physician. Get in line with your team to say, can I go and do this? And I've got a great example. Somebody called me. They knew about the new Mission Act that went into place, and they said, oh, my God, I met with my physician, and they determined that what I have going on with me, I need to get to U of M right away for this. So it wasn't even 20 days that they waited. It didn't matter with the mileage, but it was what their condition was, they needed to get it taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that was great to hear. You know, you need to communicate and you need to ask, because if you go off and do it by yourself and you end up with this hefty bill, mm-hmm. there's nothing we can do to advocate for you if you don't take the proper process.
Yeah, it's a real difficulty for a lot of folks, and it's a real shame too, you know, and I think some of that is, I think we at the VA probably didn't communicate that well enough mm-hmm. to folks. I mean, we could probably have done a better job explaining that. Look, just don't walk into somebody and say, I'm a veteran, take care of me, and send the bill to the VA.
They won't do it.
Because you'll get the bill.
Well, the VA is very much like an HMO in that you have to get mm-hmm. permission. You get a referral from your primary care wherever you go.
Right.
And this is the same thing if you go outside of the VA. You need to have that referral mm-hmm. to go to the cardiologist at U of M, even though your cardiologist at the VA works at the U of M.
Probably the same guy.
Yeah, probably.
Or woman, yeah.
Yeah.
And what we always try to emphasize, Dale, is that people have to understand the VA healthcare system is a healthcare provider. It's not a health care insurance.
Right.
Right.
And so the coordinating care in the community is, again, not I'm taking my VA insurance and going into the community and the VA insurance is going to pay that bill. Mm-hmm. No, this is the VA health care provider coordinating with the community for your care and saying we'll pay the bill because you meet these certain eligibility criteria for us to do that. So that's, I think, what is the most important thing is, like you said, yeah, you just can't walk into a facility and say, I'm a veteran, treat me, and then send the VA the bill and expect they're going to pay because they're not.
Yeah, there's no – it's and it's not that we don't want to. There's no mechanism for us to do that.
Right.
Right? There have to be – you know, there has to be a system set in place, laws made. There's just no mechanism for us to do that for you. And it's a real shame. So I hope people are kind of learning – you know, just don't show up at any doctor and say, I'm a veteran, take care of me and send the bill to the VA because it just will not work for you. And I couldn't have said it better, Michael. Just, there are veterans that there are physicians that are in network, right? Just like, just like you said, just like an HMO. And same thing with urgent care, right? That's another thing that has to do with the Mission Act is the new urgent care provision. You want to talk about that after the break?
Yeah, we are going to be taking a break here in a minute. If you have a question, give us a call, 734-822-1600. Or you can send me an email if you don't want to get on the air. Just send it to me, Dale@veteransradio.net, and we'll try to answer your question. A couple of things I was going to – oh, I know, a little anecdotal thing here – was about the idea of going to an emergency room. And a friend of ours had to go to the emergency room. Actually, they went to U of M emergency room here. And and they were told they had to be confined. They were going to keep them overnight and a couple of days and stuff. But they were also told that they should contact the VA as soon as you can.
Yes.
Within 72 hours.
Yep.
Right? Otherwise, you'll get stuck with the U of M bill.
That's right.
Instead of the VA picking it up, which is something that I do want to talk about. I think about eligibility. I think there's some confusion out there that this care is free and so forth. And it's not necessarily free. It all depends on your situation as far as, you know, income, insurance, and everything else that's concerned. You get different levels of care. But for those that are indigent and have some really issues, you can get basically free care at the VA. And I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back after the break. But we've got about 3 minutes to go. So you guys can ask each other questions here if you want to. I'm not the only one who's got interest here. Any questions? Any facts that we need to know here?
Well, of course, Brian, I think you just said it, but I think the VA is trying with the Mission Act to do a better job of communicating the program. And as they send out the announcements telling you this is what you need to do, enroll, stay in touch with your provider, versus what occurred, you're right, with the choice program. So I think, you know, lessons learned. I think this will be a better process.
Yeah, we definitely learned a lot from the rollout of the choice program a few years ago. It was quick, it was haphazard, and we just didn't do a very good job of communicating that. This time with the Mission Act, and I think everybody here, you know, every veteran who is enrolled in VA care got a letter.
Yes,
I got mine. I'm sure you got yours.
I received mine also, yes.
That said, hey, this is coming, and it was from our executive in charge, Dr. Stone. He's in charge of the VHA. And it's kind of laying out, this is what's coming, and this is, you know, this is how you participate, and ask us about it. You know, we got a little brochure in there. So, and we did, at the VA, I know we did 25 or 30 staff trainings. Everyone who gets a paycheck from the VA here was required to go to this training that explained how the Mission Act worked and how to communicate that to patients so that it's not confusing and so that it's a lot easier for folks to understand. So really, you can almost walk up to anybody at the VA and say, tell me about the Mission Act, and they should be able to tell you a little something, right? Which is a far cry from the way it was with the Choice Program. Right, Carol Ann?
You guys are doing good. Lessons learned.
Lesson learned is right. So let's talk. We have 2 minutes left. Let's talk just briefly about urgent care. So instead of me going into the emergency room, this is just like we do with regular health insurance.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the emergency room, we can go to urgent care. And, you know, unless something's fallen off.
Yes, exactly. So you got to define what's emergent care and what's urgent care. Emergent care is life and limb, right?
Yeah.
urgent care is I sprained my ankle. I cut my finger.
I got a terrible cold.
I bumped my head. I got a cold, you know, something like that. Depending on the symptoms, right?
We're not doctors.
I'm not a physician. Right?
We are not doctors here. We don't pretend that we're doctors here. So don't.
But I think a little common sense, right? Yeah. There's urgent, and then there's emergency, right? So urgent care, we're getting the urgent care facilities in network right now. They're working on that, getting more and more. So you see these everywhere in strip malls, right? They're all over the place. It allows you to go in and get that care, and then the VA would then pay that. And then you can also get a prescription if you need it, and you get up to 2 weeks' worth. You would have to pay for that, but the VA will reimburse you for it, and then you can bring that prescription in, and then we'll fill it for the rest of
it. Okay. A lot of this information is available on the VA's website itself.
Actually, just go to missionact.va.gov.
Okay. We can do that. So you heard it right here on Veterans Radio. Go to missionact.gov. To find out this information, I think all the information that we've heard about so far is going to be very helpful to so many men and women out there. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about the Mission Act. Got a couple of questions here about benefits that we need to ask our experts about. And we want your question. So give us a call here at Veterans Radio, 734-822-1600. We're going to take a break for the news and a little bit more information. And when we come back, you'll be back on the air with us here on Veterans Radio. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back on Veterans Radio, and I'm your host today, Dale Thronberry, and joining me in the studio are Mike Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, and I've got Brian Hayes here from the Ann Arbor VA, and I've got General Carol Ann Falzone on the phone here to answer your questions, also to talk about the new Mission Act that the VA recently launched on June 6th. It's kind of like D-Day, right? Was that all intentional?
Oh. Wow.
The idea is that we never put that together.
Incredible.
Well, that's when you've got a strange mind like mine. So we want to ask your questions here on Veterans Radio today. So give us a call, 734-822-1600, and we will make every attempt to answer the question. I do have one question here for Michael and Carol Ann, and maybe you can help them out too. Where did I put that? Here it is. In addition to the health care, I don't know what else that people can, you know, if they can help out with the VA or not. But this is from a gentleman down in Houston, Texas, or actually he's 100 miles from Houston, Texas, he said. His question is, can the VA help me or help us with wills and power of attorneys and other paperwork involved with legal obligations when somebody passes away? Whatever papers that will allow the surviving spouse to keep any and everything. If so, can it be done at a local level? He says he lives 100 miles from Houston. Does the VA offer anything like that or a veteran service office, anything like that?
So the VA has two different ways in which they approach that. Number one, anybody who receives service members group life insurance, traumatic injury protection, family service members group life insurance, or veterans group life insurance are eligible for financial counseling and an online will preparation services, but you specifically have to be a policyholder of one of those VA insurance policies. Mm-hmm. So it's not for every veteran in this regard. Mm-hmm. The other way that the VA helps is the VA Office of General Counsel has a list of all the various legal clinics that are brought into a VA facility and are accessible to veterans who are seeking or in need of legal assistance, such as estate planning or wills and powers of attorney. Yet these are not VA employees. Mm-hmm. These are not a service that the VA itself is providing. They're facilitating it. So for here in Ann Arbor, the person that we would want to contact is our Veterans Justice Outreach Worker, who's Jamie Wright. And the Veterans Justice Outreach workers at each of the VA facilities will have information about legal resources in the community, as well as any of the legal clinics that will be brought into the VA facility. They'll be there some days 1 to 3, mm-hmm. 9 to 3, 1 to 4. So if you go to the VA's Office of General Counsel's website at www.va.gov, again, www.va.gov, and find the Office of General Counsel, they have a tag that is Legal Help for Veterans, and you can click on a spreadsheet that gives you every VA facility in the United States by state, by location, and if there is or is not a legal clinic that is in that area. There is one at the Houston facility.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I think so. Carolyn, do you want to add anything like that? I'd see that they have a tab in the VA site for Legal Help for Veterans.
Well, you know what? I think Michael did it outstanding. However, he didn't give himself enough credit. If there is, and people sometimes have a hard time navigating not only the VA, just the computer and technology. So if you live in Houston, call your state's Veterans Affairs Office, like I used to be in for Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they can help you get the local people. I mean, we were fortunate in Michigan to have county counselors, veteran service organizations, because they also are a huge resource for you to dive into helping you with these issues. So, and just as Michael peeled off every single name, we've got great people, and they might not be called county counselors. They might not be in a county. They might be in, like, Louisiana, as I well learned. They have parishes. So learn who is your local representative.
There you go. I thought that was rather interesting, though, that the question that had come up for this gentleman, I'm not sure how old he is or anything like that, but as Michael mentioned, and maybe at the Ann Arbor VA, do you have people that come in periodically to talk about these types of issues?
Legal issues? Yeah, we do have on occasion, and you can always look on our calendar on what's going on at annarbor.va.gov. And oftentimes we have folks come down to Toledo, too, and we're partnered with the University of Toledo Law School there. I haven't heard about it for Ann Arbor in a while, but that doesn't mean we're not doing it. I just haven't heard about it.
I'm just imagining that probably every state, and I'm sure that Texas has such a large veteran population, that they probably have some sort of veterans advocate program available down there. And what we can do, Phil, is that we'll see what we can find out and send you back an email. Maybe there's some information we can find that can, you know, answer your particular question. So thanks for sending that in. We greatly appreciate it.
The Texas Commission is similar to Michigan's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and of course its sub-agency, the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. But the Texas Commission is the state agency that in Texas that advocates for veterans, and they basically have county veteran service officers in almost every county in Texas, and they coordinate with the state agency and those county veteran service officers. And yes, they work very closely with the VA in Texas, both on the VBA or the Veterans Benefits Administration side of the house and the Veterans Health Administration.
Okay. And you know, another factor I just was thinking about this, thinking about Brian, the beautiful dedication or the groundbreaking we had at the VA Ann Arbor Health Facility regarding Fisher House. Mm-hmm. And if you saw all the, you know, the representatives, you had Senator Stabenow there, you had our Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. And so if you live in an area, go to your representative, whether it's congressperson, the senator. If you're having issues that you need or help, they're also another great resource for you.
They really are, and you guys will probably agree with me. My experience with our representatives, whether they're senators or from the House, they really do care. You know, I mean, on TV they tend to battle a lot, but when you get right down to the nuts and bolts and you're talking to them in person as a human being, they really, really do care about veterans and veterans issues and the VA and a lot of other things too. But So I've always been impressed with that. And particularly Congresswoman Dingell, Debbie is just amazing for veterans. And it's always just a thrill when she decides that she wants to come down and see us here in Ann Arbor and visit the hospital, which she does often. And, you know, she holds our feet to the fire, too, when things aren't going as well as she'd like them to. But she's been a great resource for us. So kind of, you know, echoing what Carol Ann was just saying is, you know, really don't be afraid to reach out.
I think pretty much all the congressmen and senators' office have a veterans liaison. Someone that you know, knows a little bit more about the ins and outs of them.
Debbie's office has a new person, and Andrew Herring is his name. Mm-hmm. They're so young these days. He looks like he's about 15. Have you met Andrew?
Is
that because I'm 100 and he just looks they just look so young.
But they have good high energy, and that's what you need.
High energy
to get some of these things done.
Yeah, so he'll take care of it.
Yeah. It's terrible when everybody looks like they're 12. as we all can lament that particular issue. Not that we don't want our young audience out there listening to us
and answer
your questions, because we want to make sure that one of the jobs I found being associated with the Vietnam Veterans of America is that, you know, we've kind of made it our mantra to make sure that we take care of the newer and younger veterans so that they get what they deserve, and any benefits that they've earned or whatever they're eligible for, we want to make sure that they get what they're entitled to.
Definitely.
And so, you know, it takes, sometimes the older people have to explain things, and sometimes the younger veterans just aren't interested yet.
Yet.
And they don't know what they're eligible for in a lot of cases. And so
I'm wondering how well it's being communicated as folks are out processing, getting out of the military, how well, you know, VA benefits are being communicated. I don't know that myself. But I know that is a demographic of people that we are having the hardest time reaching, is those 25 to 49-year-old veterans who are just coming out. And, you know, oftentimes, of course, you know, they're more likely to be working. They're not retirement age.
Right.
And so they have health insurance. But that doesn't mean they can't come to the VA and get better care. So that's one of the things we're really working and struggling with, is trying how to reach this younger demographic. And women. Women, getting our women veterans into the VA system. You know, women are fighting shoulder to shoulder with men now in combat. And we want to get our women veterans into the VA system where they can get their care. But, you know, we are working really hard to break that reputation of being a man's hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not. You know, in Ann Arbor, almost 10% of our patients are women now. And that number used to be about 2%. So the population is growing, and we're retooling and building things to make it more comfortable for women to be in the facility, you know, related to things with privacy. And, you know, there's entire parts of – there's some areas of the hospital that men aren't even allowed to go into, right, because we're making it more comfortable for women to be in the hospital. So there are a lot of things that we're doing at the VA. Mm-hmm. And I can only speak for VA Ann Arbor. I can't speak for nationally. Mm-hmm. But we're doing so many things just to every day to make it a better hospital. We already think we're a great hospital. Hospital, but we're making it better all the time.
Well, something you just said, Brian, I think is really important. Go back to lessons learned. We're trying to attract this younger generation, the millennials. And I've seen recently where a couple of them really do want to come. They're attempting to get exams scheduled, but they are juggling a family, work, and then if they are deployed. And so when they get the phone call that says, I want the exam, but I can't come in now. Could I get a call back in 2 to 3 weeks so that when I'm back, I could schedule something? And I got a call from him on Friday. He was pretty upset, this individual, not in the state of Michigan, but the VA denied him and said, well, you couldn't show for your appointment. And so I'm glad he called us back immediately, and we're working with the VA, the VBA side, to get this rescheduled. But that's all they need is a couple negative interactions, and you know what? They're going to walk away.
Yeah, and what, you know, Caroline, what you're talking about is the benefits side, right? So that was probably a compensation and pension examination.
Right.
And, you know, when we talk about VA, we get these things convoluted, right? VA healthcare versus VA benefits. And, you know, when, you know, I speak on behalf of the hospital, so I'm talking about mainly with healthcare, but that's a struggle that we have getting our message out from the healthcare side is a lot of folks don't understand that those two things are,
right,
are quite different. And it's by design that they're different, right? Because of the conflict of interest involved with your physician being the one that's responsible for getting you benefits versus the physician that's providing you daily care, right? Those are two separate things. And so a lot of our problems that we find, like with your example, Carol Ann, you know, that's a compensation and pension issue, but not a primary care issue. And that veteran would probably have a very different experience if he was enrolled and was getting his health care, you know, at a VA facility.
And it would have probably been, you know, sometimes those folks who are calling about compensation and pension examinations may or may not be as astute in the processes involved with that. And here's one of them. So when an exam request is sent to a facility or to one of the contractors, whether it's QTC or IHL or VES,
Who are they?
Those are the three contractors that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs uses to help with their load of providing compensation and pension exams. So the law, the rules require that the provider of the examination schedule the exam, conduct the exam, and get the exam results back to the VBA within 30 days. So if someone's calling and saying, I want to reschedule, and it takes them outside of that legal window of 30 days, unfortunately, they can't do it. And yes, an examination and the VA, I can see the words in the back of my mind right now, information that we needed from those examinations to determine service connection or level of disability was necessary to be able to make a decision in your case. And so without an exam, they will deny. It's an easy fix, and I think you've probably had many of those in the past, General Fasson, where you just get the veteran back in there and say, hey, I'm willing, able, and available to report for compensation and pension examination, and then you can reopen the under AMA, it's now not a reopened claim. It's going to be in that supplemental claim lane. So, yeah. So if someone were to said to this young troop, hey, listen, we can't schedule you beyond 30 days because we have to get this done. Is there any way you can get in here? And that person can't report. Then, you know, something an advocate should write in on behalf of the veteran and saying the veteran's deployed. He's not available for a compensation and pension examination. And
that can be so frustrating for someone who doesn't understand how to deal with a giant bureaucracy, right?
Exactly.
VA. I mean, we're your hometown hospital if you're a veteran, but you got to remember we're the second largest agency in the federal government next to the DOD.
Right?
So, yeah, sometimes we trip over ourselves trying to do the right thing, you know, and it just happens that way. But that's, you know, like with Carol Ann's example, that's an experience I think that could have been, if it were me, you know, if I'd been on the other end of the phone, I think that could have been alleviated or mitigated with just a little bit of communicating, right? Instead of just saying, now we don't know exactly how that conversation went because we weren't part of it, but just communicate. You can't over communicate, right?
No, and I'm going to agree with you. And Michael, you gave me the best example to do, put it in writing or call them. And when one does that, one gets really frustrated on the end in trying to advocate for our veteran, our client, and they still get denied. So that was a really frustrating issue. And I know this is Benefits Week, and we're so lucky to have you, Brian, there, and you're on the VHA side. But, you know, we get hit from both sides with issues and try to advocate for our veterans to solve the problems.
Yeah, and it can be, like I said, it can be a big scary thing dealing with the VA. But, you know, I think if you go in with the right frame of mind and just realize that, yes, the VA is a big agency, but it's really, at the end of the day, it's just people. It's just a bunch of people trying to do the right thing within the parameters that we're given to do it, right?
But my example has always been a positive one. I've never had anybody, you know, give me a hard time or they seem to always go out of their way to try to make sure that the appointment is held at the right time. I even had my primary care come out from a previous appointment. Came out and said, Dale, I'm going to be a little bit late. I've got a little bit of an emergency going on here, so I'll be back shortly. And I thought, I can't imagine my, quote, civilian primary care doctor ever coming out and saying, we're going to be running a little late today, you know, grab another magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that that was the kind of personal care that I've experienced up there. You know, when you were mentioning the idea of the women veterans, an awful lot of the doctors, at least at the Ann Arbor VA, are female doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that would help a lot of comfort level for women to come in, that they're, you know, they're not just dealing with men because we don't know anything.
Well, there's some, there's certainly big culture change going on at the VA related to gender, and it's a big change, and it's a big ship making a big turn, but and it takes a little time, but as the way I understand it, we're doing a lot better than we used to.
It seems like it. I did want to address something that we talked about earlier before we came on the air, and you were talking about with the reorganization of the VA hospitals themselves, that some of them may be shuttered and moved around a little bit, sort of like the military bases were.
Yeah, I'm not sure that necessarily hospitals are going to be shuttered. I hate, you know, that term, but there are a lot of, VA owns a lot of buildings that at one time we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the years, you know, generally the veteran population is declining, so we don't need as much of this and much of that, much space. But there's a sort of a lot of buildings around where we're, you know, keeping the place clean and keeping the grass mowed, and there's nobody in it, you know. So, that's a big VA question. I can only speak for Ann Arbor. I don't know that anything in Ann Arbor is going to get closed.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's part of the, part of the Mission Act is going around and looking at these facilities, kind of a BRAC commission like, maybe they call it VRAC, I guess. I don't know. But that's part of that. And that's really to save the taxpayer money because taxpayers are paying millions in upkeep in buildings that we just don't need.
Seems like a couple of buildings that might be available out there for homeless veterans if somebody wanted to go out there and buy them and refurbish them.
Well, that's happening. You know, I don't know the details on it, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But I know that I think Battle Creek is looking at something like that. They had been looking at it for something like Fort Custer. And I think Grand Rapids just did something. I don't know if they were breaking ground. I just read it kind of briefly. Either they're breaking ground or they've just been approved to put in some housing, which is really very cool. It's just cool. You know,
it's cool. Speaking of cool, the other thing that we were talking about was the access to the internet that some companies and also the VA is trying to do with people that do live way out in the rural areas and can't get access. Have to go 400 or 500 miles.
Well, telehealth is a huge initiative with VA. In fact, VA is leading healthcare in general nationally on our telehealth initiative and getting your care via computer. Face it, there are a lot of times when you go to the doctor, you really don't need to be sitting in front of your doctor, right? Mm-hmm. You've done this, I'm sure. Carol Ann has, Michael, I have.
Yes.
We've all sat there waiting for the doctor to do something that we could have done over the phone, right? Or, you know, I could have texted him a picture of a freckle and said, hey, is that okay? And he's like, yeah, it's a freckle. It's an age spot. Welcome to the 50s. But, you know, but you don't have to do that now. So I think one of the companies, not to give them a plug, but I know Verizon has teamed up with the VA.
Walmart listed in some.
Walmart is one of the things that are providing locations for folks that are to provide broadband and get that signal to those veterans so that they can log in and get their care remotely, which is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's great. Carol Ann, you had something?
I said I totally agree, but here we go again, though. That's for the individual who has the savvy and who has the capability. So for our poor veterans who are out there remotely that don't have a clue about and or choose not to have a clue with the internet and technology, we need to make sure we're taking care of them too.
Absolutely.
Alleviate a lot of issues.
It would. Sounds like a really good project for a lot of veteran service organizations to put on. This is how you use the internet.
Training.
Out here, training for these people, especially if you can get some of the younger guys and women to come out and show us how to do these things.
That's amazing what they can do with telehealth. Now, they're doing retina exam. They can do teleretina. They can do all this stuff remotely, you know, and you've got an ophthalmologist or whichever specialty sitting at the other end of the camera. He's able to look and see exactly what's going on. And you could be hundreds of miles apart.
Well, it's another great opportunity, I think, and, you know, the effort that's being put forward, I think, to help these veterans across the country, you know, men and women, is a tribute, I think, to the VA system and that they're actually trying to fix it and they're trying to make it better and more accessible to all of us. And I was interested when we were talking just a minute ago about the built-in conflict of interest between the benefits and the healthcare side of the issue. And, you know, you want to talk to your primary, you know, your doctors at the VA and say, hey, I've got this, whatever it is. Could you help me, you know, with my claim? And they're kind of going, no,
can't do that. Sorry.
I can't help you with that. And so you may have to go outside, to find someone that can, you know, write that letter that says this is definitely caused by your time in the military or your exposure to whatever it might have been. We've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything that anybody would like to add to the program before I go into my close?
Well, I definitely have been beating the drum of the Wilkie versus Procopio case, and the update on that is that it's now been codified. It was passed. It was House Resolution 299, and it has now become the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act. It was passed in the House on the 14th of May, and then it was passed in the Senate on the 12th of June, and the president signed it into law last week. And what I like about it is, and people who may or may not know, what that decision basically said is that a country is not just defined by its landmass, but also its territorial waters and seas out to 12 nautical miles. Well, here's the thing, and this is what's really nice about this new law, is that they recognize that the 12 nautical miles do not start at the shore. It starts at the country's baseline that's established by the Congress of the Seas. And there is a point off the southern part of the Republic of Vietnam where their baseline is already almost 200 nautical miles away from the shore. So it's at that baseline that they then add the 12 nautical miles even further out. And all along even that eastern coast of the country of Vietnam – the baseline is anywhere between 50 to about 100 miles away from shore. So that's that baseline is where they will then add an additional 12 nautical miles. So as you can see, we're going to capture a whole lot more U.S. Navy ships.
I think you guys are going to be very busy.
And the DOD and the VA aren't going to be busy trying to figure out how to add these additional ships.
Okay, I got to close us out here. And Brian, I want to thank you very much
for
being on the program. Hope you'll come back.
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Of course,
Brian Hayes, Public Affairs, the Ann Arbor VA. General Falcone, thank you again very much. Michael, of course. And Brian, I'm going to ask you, we're going to give away our jacket. So I got a number between 1 and 591. We got 591 people that want to win this jacket.
399.
Hey, we're getting
nice number.
In the high numbers here. So 399 is already coming up there. In the meantime, my computer's breaking on me here, of course. All right, 399 is Christopher Doss of Empire, Alabama.
Hey.
Hey, sniper recon guy. All right, you've been listening to Veterans Radio, so we'll be cutting in touch with him. Thank you all for listening. This program will be up in our archives shortly. You are dismissed.